Genesis chapter 22, and a look at verse 1 down through verse number 14. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. I'll explain that in a little bit. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave, cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is a lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Look again in the first part of verse number 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. I want to speak for a few moments on this subject. God always has a ram in the bush. Let's get some help. Father, thank you for what we've already experienced here in this service. Father, thank you for how your spirit is present. Father, thank you for how you have invaded this service and touched our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would help us today to get some truth from your word that would allow us to be able to leave this building saying, God always has a ram in the bush. Father, please speak to our hearts as only you can. Save the lost and help every believer. We're all here by divine appointment. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, in this passage, we have a man named Abraham. And here Abraham called God by the name of Jehovah Jireh. That's a compound word. Matter of fact, there are several compound words for God throughout the Old Testament. And this name actually means the Lord will provide. In this case, God provided a ram because that is what Abraham needed. He needed another sacrifice other than his son. But by way of application, your ram today might be peace. Your ram today might be a mended relationship. Your ram today might be a financial need. Your ram today might be a clear direction. Your ram today might be relief from stress. Your ram today might be a potential mate. Your ram today might be a job. Your ram today might be physical healing. I don't know what your ram might be, but there's one thing that I know. After almost 54 years living on this earth, there's one thing that I know. God always has a ram in the bush. And when you get that ram in the bush, that ram is going to help you to see God in a different light than what you have seen and known him to be before. Once he got the ram, he said, "This is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide." How many of you know we've got a God who can provide today? Thank God he is Jehovah Jireh. And see, in order to get our ram in the bush so we can see God in a different light, there are at least three things that need to take place today. Number one, in case you're taking notes, how do we get our ram in the bush? Number one, we must go through a heart-wrenching test. Let me say that again. We must go through a heart-wrenching test. Notice Genesis chapter 22. Verse 1 and verse number 2. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Now, the word tempt there literally means to test Abraham. "And Abraham, tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." Listen, I've already told you how the word tempt literally means to test. See, what happens is Satan will often tempt us to bring the worst out of us, but God will test us to bring the best out of us. And this test that Abraham was going through was a heart-wrenching test. In verse number 2, as God is speaking to Abraham, God lets him know exactly what he has to do and that which he needs to sacrifice. He said, "Thy son," that son that he was waiting on for all those years, that son that he received when he was 100 years old, he said, "Thine only son." This was the only son of promise. And Isaac means laughter. Laughter. That son that brought you joy. And he said, "Whom thou lovest." In other words, that son that your heart is knit to. See, God did not want Isaac's life. God wanted Abraham's heart. And in order for God to get Abraham's heart, and in order for Abraham to get his ram, he had to go through a heart-wrenching test. But the ram allowed him to see God as Jehovah Jireh. Right now, some of you in this building, you may feel like as if you're going through a heart-wrenching test. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Because God has a ram in the bush. God's going to provide you with something that's going to allow you to see him in a different light. You remember the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse number 5. Don't turn there. But Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." See, Job saw God in a different light after he had gone through his test, after he had to go to a casket. Matter of fact, 10 children died, but he saw God later on after the test in a different light. He lost all of his wealth, but he saw God in a different light. He went through where he lost his health, but he saw God in a different light. And see, God always has a ram in the bush. And see, you say, what was his ram in the bush? God gave him twice as much. See, right now, you might be going through something, and you don't understand the test that you're going through right now. But at the point in time when you see him, you're like you're at your lowest point. God's going to give you that ram in the bush. You look at Job's life, and Job got 10 children back. He already had 10 in heaven, so he still got twice as much. Job got his wealth back. Job got his health back. And he said, I've heard of thee. Now I see thee. See, a lot of times we can hear some things, but until you go through the test and get your ram in the bush, you don't see him like you need to see him. Oh, can I testify one more time? Can I testify? I said one more time. I've told it a number of times, but I've got to tell it again. Listen, I knew some things about God. I knew God could touch. I knew God could heal. My grandmother had already given a lot of testimonies about what God could do. But it wasn't until I went through my sickness a couple of years back that I got a totally different view of God. Because, see, he gave me my ram in the bush. You say, what's your ram in the bush? My ram in the bush is better health than I've had in a long time. Hey, my health after I came out of the test is better now than it was when I went into the test. And if you don't believe it, put her here, amen? Put her here. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to go through something. But I see God in a different light. You want to know sometime I get excited up here when they talk about when he brought healing down to you. Hey, I get excited because I know what he did for me. He always, always has a ram in the bush. Abraham knew that God could provide. God had already provided for Abraham. You remember, not when fire was sent down from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but even before that, you go back to that chapter 14 and chapter 15, and you have Lot, who was actually taken captive by some kings, but then Abraham got his men together, went and rescued Lot. He knew what it was for God to provide protection and to bring deliverance. See, he knew that God could provide because God had already provided for him a son in his old age. He knew that God could provide because God provided protection for his wife when he, Abraham, was not even doing right. And God provided protection and protected her against from Pharaoh and from Abimelech when Abraham was saying that she's my sister. He knew that God could provide. But see, sometimes you've got to go through a heart-wrenching test to see God in a totally different light and a totally different level. He never said Jehovah Jireh until after he saw the ram. See, once you get your ram in the bush, hey, it'll turn you into a Baptist, and you'll get excited because you know what he has done and what he did for you, and you get to can't help but you got to say something sometime. See, it's one thing sometimes to trust God. One thing to trust God when we're waiting for something. It's another thing to trust God when God says you got to give it up. That's a totally different level when God says you have to give it up. You remember the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had a heart-wrenching test. He had a physical problem of which he was not healed. And he prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And God said, and the Lord would take it away. And the Lord said, no. Pray it again. The Lord said, no. Pray it again. The Lord said, no. But you know what happened? I believe on that third no, the Lord said, no, I'm not going to allow you to receive this, but look in the bush. I got a ram in the bush. You said, what was his ram in the bush? His ram in the bush was grace that brought the power of God. And when he saw his ram in the bush,
His whole outlook on life changed. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. In other words, when I'm going through sickness, hey, I just take pleasure in it, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake, because I found a ram in the bush. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, God always has a ram in the bush. Sometimes when you're going through something, when you come out of it, you are stronger than you've ever been before. Listen, God always has a ram in the bush. How do we get our ram in the bush? Number one, we must go through a heart-wrenching test. Secondly, we must obey God's word in spite of the circumstances. Let me say that again. We must obey God's word in spite of the circumstances. Notice Genesis chapter 22 and notice verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. You'll notice that Abraham had faith to obey God regardless of the circumstances. He didn't have all the answers, but he obeyed God. Listen, and this was not some emotional decision. Look at verse 4 down through verse number 5. Then on the third day, I underline that in my Bible, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey and I, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now you notice in verse number 4, it says 3 days. It was 50 miles from Beersheba to Mount Moriah. And they traveled that. He had 3 days to think about it. 3 days to ponder that decision. But that didn't change his mind. He could have rationalized and say, you know something, what am I going to tell his mother? He could have rationalized and say, what am I going to tell these two young men that I'm about to leave in a second and go over here and sacrifice? What am I going to tell them? He could have rationalized it, but even though the situation didn't look good, he obeyed God. Notice verse 6 and verse number 7. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the knife in his hand and a knife, took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Because Abraham had the fire in his hand. He had the sling knife in his hand. And his son was questioning him. The circumstances did not look good. But he obeyed God's word. And praise God, God gave him a ram. See, when we obey God's word, even when the circumstances don't look right, God will always give you a ram in the bush, something that'll let you see him in a different light. Let me tell you the story. I was at Wachovia. When I worked there prior to my pastoring here, I was at Wachovia. And while I was there, they would have like different gatherings for people. Some of you who work in offices and things, you know, or even in factory work, sometimes they'll have it where the boss and people will get together. And I can remember how they were going to have a time when the whole office was supposed to get together. It would bring about camaraderie and show that you like one another and get to know one another, all those things. And they were supposed to have it over somebody's house. And I had planned on going. And a lady who was going to go, she came up to me and she talked to me and she said,
privately, she said, you don't want to go there. I said, why? She said, they're going to have alcoholic beverages. They're going to be serving there. They're going to be drinking. You don't want to go there. I said, I appreciate that. I went to my mom. Matter of fact, you know Ruth, right? My wife knows Ruth. And so she came and told me. And I went and talked to my boss, and I said, listen, I can't go. They're saying, why not? I said, because you're going to be serving alcohol. I can't go. And I said, I'm a Christian. Of course, he knew that. And then he began to say, well, I'm a Christian. And to make a long story short, that conversation didn't go all that well, you know. And so you know how it is when people begin to think about you and begin to talk about you, you know, and they begin to call you a holier-than-thou and all that kind of stuff. You know how that goes. At least I think you do. Amen. You know how. Am I right? Go like that. Amen. All right, so you understand what I'm saying. They call you a holier-than-thou when you think you better and you judging us and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. And you know, as a believer, we want everybody to like us. We do. We do. We don't want people to talk about us. We want people to like us. But sometime when you stand for God, everybody's not going to like you. And I can remember that day I went back to my cubicle. I was just there, you know how it is, just by myself, just thinking. You know, nobody coming around. Just thinking, there by myself. You know, and sometimes you can get to those places. See, and I was at that place, but you know something? God always had a ram. He always has a ram in the bush. One of the ladies who was supposed to be going there, not Ruth, but another lady who was supposed to be going there, and this lady, she came to my cubicle, and she said, I want to get my life right with the Lord. She said, think I can go to church with you? I said, you better believe you can go to church. And that Sunday, we were still living there. We were still over there at Piedmont Bible College, still in Bible College. That Sunday, she drove her car parked behind our car and followed us on over to church. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, I had gotten to the place, but I did what I believed the Word of God wanted me to do. I took a stand. I did what was right. I got to the place where I wasn't feeling all that good, but even though I knew I had done right. But during those times when you've been true to God's Word, God will always give you. Always give you. Always give you a ram in the bush. And I thank God because, see, she could see a difference between some of those people in there who were claiming to know God in my life. Hey, that was my ram in the bush. Well, you know after that, you done heard me give a testimony. You know after that, well, I was just kind of hog wild after that. Man, I have attracted everything, stacking them up, talking to people, so forth. You know how that goes. Hey, when you get your ram in the bush, it'll give you more fire in a different light. In which you see God always has a ram in the bush. How do we get our ram in the bush? I said, number one, we must go through a heart-wrenching test. Number two, we must obey God's word in spite of the circumstances. Just keep being true to God's word. God will give you a ram in the bush. And number three, we must be willing to trust God above all else. We must be willing to trust God above all else. Notice Genesis 22. Verse 8 down through verse number 10. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8 down through verse number 10. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham told Isaac that God would provide himself a lamb. Now, I'll show you something in a little bit, but Abraham saw his son as the lamb. And I'll prove that to you in just a little bit. But he had to trust God above everything else. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 down through verse number 19 makes this statement. You don't have to turn there. I have it written down. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure.
In his mind, he had already slain his son in his mind. And when he said that God would provide himself a lamb, he was looking at his son as being the lamb. No one had ever been resurrected at this point in time, but he trusted God enough because he knew that he was the promised seed. That if I don't understand it, but I know God has the power. And I'm going to have to slay my son. But God, I know you always keep your word. So I know you're going to raise my son up. That's the only way, because I'm going to slay him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to offer him. And by the way, if Abraham, after he left those two men, and if he had, he and Isaac were going up, and if a lamb had just been wandering around, Abraham would not have taken that lamb and crucified that, and sacrificed that lamb, because had he done that, he would have been operating in disobedience, because God had already told him to sacrifice his son. And you don't do anything other than what God tells you to do until he gives you another command that may erase that. And so if the lamb had been there, he would have just walked right on by him and sacrificed his son. Because God always wants you to follow what he says to the letter. You remember Saul in the Old Testament. Saul was told, you wipe out everything. But Saul didn't wipe out everything. What did Saul do? Well, he said, I'll just, you know, keep some of the best and so forth and like that. And that was disobedience, and God got him for that. See, Abraham, in his own mind, he had gotten to the place where he said, you know something, I'm going to do this. I'm trusting God. I don't have all the answers, but this is the only way I can see it's going to work, but I'm going to trust God all the way. When I was sitting in my study, and kids, don't get, all my kids were adults, but I still call them kids. Don't get scared at this. But when I was sitting in my study, and literally, I'm telling you the truth, when I was sitting in my study, I just started imagining my kids lying on the desk and taking a knife. And don't get scared, because it's going to happen. but plunging into them. And I could see, as I look at their faces, I could just see their eyes. And sometimes we think that things are just real easy, but they're not. And I was just imagining that as I was just sitting there and just trying to put myself in the place to where Abraham was and thinking about what he might have been going through. Because sometimes to trust God, that itself can be heart-wrenching. It can. It can be heart-wrenching sometimes just to trust God. And Abraham lifted up the knife to plunge it into his son. Notice verse 11. Thank God, God stopped him. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. He trusted God above his feelings. He trusted God above his situation. He trusted God above all else. And God provided a ram in the thicket, a ram in the bush. Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7 says, the Lord is good. He is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. See, God knows when we're trusting in him. Psalm 34, verse 22 says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. God always has a ram in the bush. What you've got to do is, regardless of the circumstances, trust God. Trust God. I don't care how it looks. Trust God. I don't care how heart-wrenching it is. Trust God. And listen, trust God until you can't trust him anymore. In other words, just keep right on trusting him till the end. Don't let anything cause you to doubt. Don't let anything cause you to turn back. Don't let anything cause you to throw in the towel. Keep trusting him. And when God gives you your ram in the bush, you're going to see him in a different light. Notice verse number 14 in closing. It said, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Abraham withheld nothing, and God gave him everything. Look at verse 15 down through verse number 19. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and have not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. This is the Abrahamic covenant. And as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. When things were their best, Abraham, or their worst, Abraham continued to trust God, stayed with his word, did what God said, passed the test, saw God in a different light. And then God said, I'm going to bless you even more. If you think I am Jehovah Jireh, I am. And then he began to tell him what he's going to do for him. What he's going to do for his seed. See, sometimes in life, you may go through a test, but when you stick by God's word and you trust him above everything else, not only will you see him as Jehovah Jireh, but God will put his blessings all over your life, all over your seed life, your kids. God will allow his blessings to flow all over the place. I'm in closing. But I can't leave this passage without showing you the striking parallel between Isaac and our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is everything to me. And I believe he's everything to you. Isaac is a type of Christ. Both Isaac and Christ were promised sons. Both Isaac and Christ were miraculous births. Christ was virgin born. Isaac was born to parents who were beyond the childbearing age, 90 and 100. Both brought joy to their father. The name Isaac means laughter. My heavenly father said of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Isaac questioned his father around the time of the sacrifice. He said, where is the lamb? Jesus questioned his father when he was the sacrifice. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Christ was dead for 3 days. In the mind of his father, Abraham, Isaac was dead for 3 days. According to verse number 6, Christ carried for a period of time the wooden cross upon which he was crucified. Isaac carried the wood on which he was laid to be sacrificed. Our Savior willingly gave up his life. You see, no struggle in here indicated from Isaac. He was willing to give up his life. Jesus was laid on the cross. Isaac was laid on the wood for the sacrifice. In verse number 19, it indicates that Abraham returned back to those two men. He left. But the Bible doesn't say that Isaac returned. We know that Isaac returned, but the scriptures doesn't indicate it. We know that he's there. We just can't see him. You don't see him again until that 24th chapter, right about verse 62 down through verse 67. When Isaac appears again, that's next time you see him in scripture. And when you see him again, he's out there ready to receive his bride. And his bride is coming. You know where I'm going with that one. We know he's here. We just can't see him. But the next time with human eyes that we get to see him, he's going to be coming back for his bride, for his bride, for his bride. And until then, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tests. But every trial you go through, every test you go through, open your eyes. Because God will always have a ram in the bush. Let's bow for a word of prayer.